Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Cousins on crime, on crime.
We're done.
yeah, it's over, Elena. Okay, give it a rest. You're never going to make fetch happen. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
You look very pretty.
with
your pink lip gloss. Stop and your hair
it.
Down.
Oh, every time I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to blow out my hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not that person. I always put it up.
Yeah.
I'm just not that down hair person.
I really do try myself. So
I can't stand things on my neck. Like I cut all the tags out of my clothes.
Oh, yeah.
If my hair's up in a pony and I have one strand that comes down, I will
lose it.
I will drive to the nearest Sephora or wherever and buy bobby pins.
Oh, no.
Mind you, I have 100,000 bobby pins
that
at home.
That you can't find.
And I'm not kidding. No, they're there. I know where they are.
You don't keep any in your purse?
I usually do. But if I can't find one,
I'm
like, I have to pin this hair or I'm going to freak out. So, anywho.
Calm down.
Yeah,
calm
I know. Down. I'm sorry.
Take a deep breath.
I have some sensory issues and that's one of them.
Okay.
I can't stand anything on the back of my neck.
Yeah. Now look at you with your hair on the back of your neck.
I know.
She just put her hair up, y'all. As we're talking about it.
I put my hair up.
Tell her how pretty she is and she just.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Y'all. Do you hear the birds chirping in the backyard?
I hear the birds chirping.
Okay.
And I've also heard the ice cream man like twice.
Yeah.
And we've been recording.
We were in the middle of recording. I could not let her run out the door.
If he comes back, I'm sorry, but I'm going. If he comes back, I'm going.
Okay.
Because I will take that as a sign from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That I deserve a banana fudge bomb.
Okay. Third time's a charm. So,
by the way, if you don't know, Bluebell just came out with a banana fudge bomb flavored
ice cream.
Yeah. And it is delicious.
It's good. I like it. It's not overly fudgy.
Right.
So, which
not
I
overly
appreciate.
Banana-y.
Correct.
Nice balance.
Yeah. But there's so many more flavors from Bluebell that are just like to die for.
Cookies and cream will always be my ride or die.
That's my fave. Mm-hmm. They used to have, did you ever have cookie cake?
No, but that sounds.
It was pieces of cookie cake with like fudge drizzle in it.
Oh no.
Y'all, I even emailed Bluebell and asked them to bring it back. I did.
I love you.
They said, sorry, we don't see that coming out in the near future.
No.
I'm like, well, if you could change your mind, that would be wonderful.
I hate when you find something that you absolutely love and then it's snatched away.
It's gone.
Oh, man.
If they brought that back, I'd probably buy 10 of them just to stock up.
Could you preserve them in time? Like cryopreserve them.
Cryo.
Like my embryos are frozen. Could you
Bluebell. Bluebell, can you answer that for us, please? If you work at Bluebell, can you please?
If you work at Bluebell and you're listening to this, what if someone's listening and their granddad is like Mr. Bluebell himself?
Yeah. Okay.
Could you even imagine?
I need cookie cake ice cream back.
Wow. What was the base flavor?
It was vanilla with
sounds perfect.
Chunks of cookie
cake. Oh my
cake.
Gosh, like being at a birthday party.
Absolutely. okay. I got to get my mind off this.
We've got to get out of this. We've got to get out of this subject.
I was going to tell you about the birds that have been hitting my window and then we got stuck on.
Wait, what?
Yes, ma'am. The whole week, like four times this week, a bird has flown straight into my window and I hear thunk.
Well, that just means they're very clean. You're a Windex commercial. You are the Windex commercial.
Yeah. The first time it happened, I waited like 30 minutes. It freaked me out. Even my dogs barked. They were like, who's out there?
Did you see a dead bird outside?
So 30 minutes go by and I'm like, finally get the courage. Chris wasn't home. So I look outside and there's this little bird sitting up under the grill. And it's alive, but it just is standing
there.
It's
wounded?
I thought. So I'm watching it. I start whistling at it and it barely turns its head and looks at me. And Chris finally got home. I was like, here's a glove. I need you to go out there and get it.
Oh my gosh.
Put it in this box. Well, as soon as he bent down to get it, it just flew. It darted up in the air. I don't know. Was it trying to like...
Maybe he had a concussion and he was just trying to recover from that.
That was sad. But they keep doing it.
They keep hitting your window. Why?
I don't know.
There's a curtain.
I know. And so I think the black part on the back maybe of the curtain...
Maybe it reflects.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. And they think it's more sky.
I opened the curtain earlier to see if they would hit it with the curtain open and it didn't happen. But...
It must be highly reflective and they just think they're flying into a continuation of the sky.
Into a cave. I don't know because these are small birds. So I guess
they're stupid.
Yeah. They haven't learned their lesson.
Stupid. Wow. Okay. We're getting tired, y'all. Stupid birds.
Okay.
And we all know Lena hates birds.
I
so.
Do, but I did feel, I felt bad for that little tiny
interesting.
Thing. Okay. Enough. No ice cream, no birds. We're done.
Tell us what you need to tell us.
Okay. Marianne and Wanda were the best of friends.
I can't handle this anymore. Just get on with it.
I thought I could get through further without you laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
All through their high school days. Okay. I'm not going to finish
that
part.
Is this the story about Earl?
Close. Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not talking about Marianne and Wanda. But I dare say it is similar. Robin Davis and Carol Saltzman were best friends for 20 years.
Mm.
Unlike Marianne and Wanda, they didn't become friends until they were out of high school.
Okay.
And working. Carol is also known as Sissy. So if you see reports, if you look more into this story and see Sissy written in the reports, it's Carol.
Okay.
But I'm going to call her Carol. She was 5 years younger than Robin. Anyway, the two of them did everything together. They worked together. They got their hair done together. Grocery shopped together.
Hmm.
Robin Little Davis was born in 1962. She was raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She got married when she was 20 years old. She had two children, and shortly after is when she met Carol, and they got really close when Robin and her husband separated.
Oh.
Now, that part's a little iffy for me. One report I heard said that they divorced, but another report said that her husband died in a car accident.
What? That's a big discrepancy.
Yeah. But I tried digging into that, but what I could find was that the car accident was in 2008, a few years later than this.
Okay, so both could be true.
Yeah.
So maybe they separated and then he got into an accident, or maybe they divorced and then he got into an
accident. Exactly. So I don't know the truth on
that. Makes sense.
But honestly, I stopped digging into all of that part just out of respect for the family and her kids.
Right.
And I don't want to spread any misinformation. So Robin worked as an insurance salesman or salesperson. She met William Brian Davis while working at this insurance company, and he went by Brian. Brian was a few years younger than Robin, and he was going through his second divorce.
Oh, man.
He had four children. He was flirtatious, and he pursued Robin.
Oh.
Robin, at first, she did not really like him. She was kind of annoyed by him. but he was persistent, and she gave in.
Okay.
And they started dating. Brian loved hunting and fishing. He was an outdoorsy guy. He never met a stranger and was outgoing and confident in himself. Friends say he was a lot of fun. Once Brian's divorce was final in 2005, the couple moved to Lake Charles, Louisiana. Robin was promoted to supervisor within the company.
Snap.
Yeah. And so this was at the Lake Charles location, so that's why they moved there. Okay. And Brian, he would get a position at the Lafayette location.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that location was about an hour drive from their house.
Oh.
The Lafayette. Once there, Robin helped her friend from back home, Carol, to get a job at the insurance company with her.
Okay. I was about to say she left her friend. Mm-hmm. Like,
she left her just for a short time. Carol moved to Lake Charles and lived with Robin and Brian. They lived in a big house, so there was lots of room. Robin's kids called Carol their aunt, or aunt, wherever you're from. Carol and Brian called each other brother and sister. They were one big happy family.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Carol lived with them until 2008, so for about 3 years.
Wow. Okay. Did she end up working at the insurance company?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she worked. She started working there at the Lake Charles location. With Robin. Yeah. So during their dating life, Brian had cheated on Robin several times. And Robin knew about the affairs, but she decided to stay with him. And she actually agreed to marry him in 2008. What?
Okay.
Yeah. In March of 2009, Robin found out that Brian was having an affair with a woman named Fanny.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So getting married didn't stop him. And actually, their affair started in 2007 before they married. So, yeah, about a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fanny, I'm not going to be available this weekend because I'm getting married, but don't you worry, sweetie. I'll be back.
Stay right here.
Wow.
That same month that Robin found all that out, Carol and Robin both lost their job at the insurance company.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Carol was caught stealing money. Yikes.
Carol.
And Robin failed to speak up about her knowledge of the crime.
Robin.
I know.
Well, I wouldn't turn my friend in, so. I don't blame her for staying quiet.
I know. She'll just lose her job over it. June 29th of 2009, Brian went boat shopping.
Oh.
His plan was to go to Beaumont, Texas, which was an hour drive from his home.
Okay.
He left in the afternoon, but he never came back home.
Oh.
Robin called police to report him missing, but she was told that she had to wait the 24-hour window, which she did. And then she called back and told them that Brian still had not come home that next day. July 1st, 2009, Brian's body was found.
Yikes.
On Wagon Wheel Road. Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
Wagon Wheel Road. Where is that at?
In Lake Charles somewhere.
Okay, so home.
Close to home. In the bayou.
Got it.
A mechanic was test driving a Jeep. I heard it was a Jeep, and then I heard it was a ATV. Anyway, don't know.
Okay.
He had been working on this vehicle, whatever it was, and he drove it down this dirt road to see how it was driving, see if it was fixed. Yeah. And he saw a car with the trunk open, and it was obvious that there was an issue with the tire.
Oh.
The spare tire was on the ground, and the car jack was out, so he decided to stop and help. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, a mechanic.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Lucky.
That's when he saw a man laying dead on the ground.
Oh, no.
Brian's body was already decomposing in the heat of the southern summer. I'll
bet.
The mechanic drove away. He's like, I'm out of here. He went to the nearest place that he could find. It was a bar. He went into this bar and he found a police officer sitting there.
Wow.
Yeah. And he told him what he had just seen.
He's like, hop in my ride. Yeah. We've got to go.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
He called for backup and the police surrounded the scene. It was even said that the police had to get on ATVs to get out to this area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So not really sure why Brian's car was in this area. Mm-hmm. Brian had been shot 4 times. It was determined that the shooter shot him twice in the back. Brian then turned toward the shooter and was shot a 3rd time. And then he fell to the ground and then was shot the 4th time in the face.
Oh, man.
Mm. Investigators assessed the scene. They remarked that it was as though Brian had been fixing a flat tire. Mm-hmm. The doors in the trunk to his tire or to his car were open, and there was a car jack under the car. The lug nuts were off of the wheel and the spare tire was laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In assessing the situation, police said that nothing was even wrong with the tire. No puncture.
Huh.
It was low on air. But how? They don't know.
Right.
Brian's driver's license was next to the car, so they were able to identify his body pretty quickly.
Okay.
Brian's body was about 30 feet from the vehicle. His belt was undone and his shoes were off. And police speculated that due to this, this could have been maybe a sexual encounter gone wrong.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was just his belt. His pants weren't undone.
Mm-hmm.
A podcast I was listening to, actually, where I got a lot of this information, it's called Cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how they think maybe he was a heavy guy,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he just undid his belt when he bent down to change the tire. He undid the belt because it was uncomfortable on his stomach,
mm-hmm.
and his pants were a little bit down, like maybe
like
plumber's crack,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
and you know, he squatted down, his pants mm-hmm. came down a little bit. So they speculated that maybe it was just because he was bending over.
Okay. I've unbuttoned my pants on the way home from places before. After because
you had Bluebell ice cream.
Exactly. you got to do what you got to do. So.
Right. So the coroner determined that Brian died on Monday, June 29th, sometime after 12 p.m., It actually rained really hard that night, the night of the 29th. So a lot of the evidence was washed away, like footprints, tire tracks, that kind of stuff. There was not a lot to go on.
Wow.
While the police were investigating the scene, a car pulls up. In this car was Carol and her boyfriend. This is the only mention of her boyfriend, so I don't know who he was. She said she was watching the news and saw that a body had been found, and she had to come out to check to see who it was because she thought it could be her friend's missing husband. So she had to check it out. Police contacted Robin and notified her that they found her husband deceased. She started crying and dry heaving.
Oh.
The next day, when she regained her composure, she went in to talk to police. She told them that Brian had left the house on June 29th. He left early for work that morning. He drove her car, which was a Chevrolet Trailblazer.
Why would he go boat shopping?
I'll get into that.
Okay, yeah, go on.
I'm getting there.
All right.
Okay. He came home early at 11 a.m. because he wanted to go boat shopping. Mm-hmm. Robin decided to go with him. See, he had an older boat.
Okay.
And Robin told him he could get a boat because, well, we'll get into it in a minute.
Okay.
So Robin decided to go with him and they left shortly after he got home from work. Robin got bored of this and had her own errands to run. So Brian took her back home. He wasn't really finding anything that he wanted. And so he was going to go to Beaumont, Texas to this boat shop there. So they got home about 2 or 3 in the afternoon is what she told them. When they got home, Robin then got in her car and went to Carol's house to pick her up to go run the errands that she needed to do. Brian, he then got in his car and went his separate way. She told police that she talked to Brian on his cell phone as she was driving to Carol's house at 3 p.m. When she tried to call him a little later, he didn't answer his phone. She told them that she figured he was just having another affair, that he had cheated on her before, and so that's what she expected.
Right.
In a different interview with police, Robin added another detail. She told them that Carol had borrowed Brian's car the night before. Carol had been at the Davis's home for the majority of the day on the 28th, and when she went to leave, her car wouldn't start, so they let her take Brian's Honda Accord.
Okay.
That's why Brian took the Trailblazer to work that morning.
Right.
And while he was at work, Carol brought the car back to the Davis's house, and Robin drove Carol back to Carol's trailer.
Okay.
Then the boat shopping ensued, and then back to Carol's to pick her up for the errands. They said they went to Albertson's and to the dry cleaners. The two friends were seen on the surveillance video at the Walgreens at 8:52 a.m. on June 29th, the day of the murder. But this trip was never mentioned to police, which I don't think is a huge discrepancy because, I mean, it's just Walgreens.
Right.
But, hey, maybe it meant something.
Okay.
Also, that 3 p.m. call that Robin says she made was not listed on the cell phone data.
Huh.
The call that she made was at 5:58 p.m. She told police that she had called Brian and left him several voicemails asking, where are you at? After he went missing. But the data shows no calls were made during that time. Later, cell phone pings revealed that Robin and Carol's comings and goings did not match their stories.
Yikes.
In fact, the data placed the women at the murder scene the day of the murder and the day before the murder.
Oh, scouting.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It all sounds like premeditation, right? One possibility that police looked into was Fanny and her husband, Shane.
Okay.
She was married.
Of course she was.
Yeah. If he knew about the affair, maybe he could be the one that went after Brian. Shane drove a red truck. A witness saw a red truck near the scene the day of the murder.
Huh.
But Shane did have a tight alibi. He was at work and his employer did confirm that, which I want to say he worked an hour away.
Oh, so.
So it would have been difficult, I feel like. But anyway, he had a tight alibi. But his cell phone data could not actually exclude Shane that he could have been in the area of the crime scene the day of the murder. So I don't know what they have on that.
Okay.
Nothing else is, they just couldn't exclude.
Interesting. Okay.
Which I think if he's supposed to be an hour away, it wouldn't ping on a tower that close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now, there was no reason Brian would have been driving his car down this road. I mean, even though it was a about a mile from their home, this road was in the middle of nowhere with big potholes and mud holes.
Mm-hmm. Not on the way to anywhere.
Yeah. That path was not the path he needed to mm-hmm. go to for Beaumont. Police theorized that Carol did take the Honda Accord, but never returned it. Instead, she drove the car down Wagon Wheel Road. She parked the car and let the air out of the tire. And then she called the Davises to ask for help to change the tire as they were doing their quote unquote boat shopping.
Gotcha.
Now, they did actually go boat shopping. There is evidence of them being at this boat dealer. So police say that this was a ruse to get Brian when he least expected it. Once he was working on the tire and in a vulnerable state, one of the women shot Brian in the back with his own pistol. Brian kept a 9mm pistol in the Honda Accord, and this gun was never found.
Oh.
The ammunition used in the murder also matched the ammo found at Brian's home.
Mm. Damning.
Their thoughts on the motivation was due to the multiple affairs that Brian had. This last affair, along with their financial issues.
Yikes.
That they were having. Marianne and Wanda, I mean, Robin and Carol decided that Brian had to die.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, Robin and Carol, they all had a gambling problem and oh. were having financial hardships. Robin hadn't paid the mortgage in 3 months. And,
oh, my.
And her bank account was overdrawn.
Oh, that makes me feel sick.
I know.
Mm.
It's bad. Most people would say that if you are in this kind of hardship, you probably shouldn't be going to buy a boat.
I would say.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some speculated that Brian didn't even know
about the death. I was about to ask. He may not have even known.
Yeah, because friends say that he was excited about getting it. Robin said, mm-hmm. I can get this. So Brian, actually, he had 4 life insurance policies. Weird. Whoa. 4. I mean, that weird?
I think that's weird.
Excessive?
I think it's in excess. Yes.
It totaled $645,000. Robin had only told police about 2 of the policies. That totaled $130,000.
Mm.
And you could think maybe she forgot about these other 2 policies, but she sure didn't forget to file the claim. just 2 weeks after the murder.
Yeah, I bet.
Robin, who was 44, and Carol, who was 39, were arrested on December 10th, 2009. And charged with murder.
Oh, they even did that together.
Yes.
They got charged and went to prison together. Yes. That's so cute. Yes.
And that's funny because the next sentence is, remember I told you Robin and Carol did everything together? Yeah, they even had their murder trials together.
Really?
Yeah.
They tried them together.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Interesting. So May 10th of 2012, the pair were found guilty of second-degree murder and received life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Second degree?
Mm-hmm.
Surprised by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The 2 friends maintained their innocence. Could there have been other possibilities? Did the police fixate on Robin and Carol because it was an easy answer? DNA of an unknown male was found under Brian's fingernails.
Oh, okay.
Here's the stupid part. It's all stupid, but anyway, they knew it was of male DNA, but investigators never tested that DNA to see if it was even actually Brian's. Or whose it was.
Oh, come on.
Stupid, right.
That's ridiculous.
No physical evidence actually tied the women to the murder.
Other than the data. I mean,
yeah. okay.
Digital forensics.
Right.
Perhaps.
And that's, yeah. The biggest evidence was the cell phone data putting the women at the murder scene the day of and the day before. But they actually lived just around a mile away. So how accurate are these pings mm-hmm. to, you know, to definitively say that they were in that exact spot?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it that good?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it sounds like a more rural exactly. area. So there may be not whole lot of towers.
How many towers?
Yeah, how many yeah. towers are out there? And
right.
You're right.
So there are still some questions that could be answered. But from the information that I was given here or that I have given you, mm-hmm. It sounds like the prosecutors got this one right. I don't know. But like I said, there are still questions.
Mm-hmm.
I did link a case note document if you want to read more specific details about the case. But back to Brian. Let's end this on him. Was he perfect? No, but he's a victim here.
Mm-hmm.
His obituary reads, William Brian Davis, 39, died on Monday, June 29th of 2009. Brian was born July 9th, 1969, in New Orleans, Louisiana. He was raised in Independence, Louisiana, and presently resided in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He was a graduate of Independence High School and worked as a sales manager for Union National Life Insurance Company for the past 9 years. He was a member of Our Lady Queen of Heaven Catholic Church. Brian was a member of the CCA and an avid fisherman and outdoorsman. He also enjoyed competition shooting, singing karaoke, and playing golf. He never met a stranger and loved being with his family and friends. He will be missed dearly by those who loved him.
Mm. Maybe that's why he had 4 life insurance policies.
For his kids? Or what?
No, for him. Himself. He was a manager of life insurance.
Okay.
Maybe he got a certain premium. Like maybe the company paid a certain premium. 4 life insurance policies is a lot.
But no, that's a very good point. Because as a insurance agent, you want to sell policies.
Right. Maybe he had 4 because he wanted smaller policies. And
maybe it was
more on the books.
Yeah.
Can you sell your own life insurance policy? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. Is it suspicious? Is it not?
It's very suspicious.
The part of her only telling of 2 but claiming on 4, that's suspicious.
That is suspicious. The lying about the calling.
Yeah.
It just seems like you could have not said any of that and been okay.
Right.
Like you could have said none of that and been less suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to tell the police that you called and called and called and called?
And you called them at a specific time, but right. you didn't.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that they didn't test that DNA.
Right.
Really disappointed. That's very arrogant on behalf of the state to yeah. be like, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, because it's a male. Like, I guess they just assumed it was his.
They worried that it wasn't his and that this would confuse things? Because
that's a great question.
I think it probably was his. But even if it wasn't, he was out and about boat shopping. He mm-hmm. could have shook hands with anybody.
Right.
And had their DNA on him.
True. Yeah. But under his fingernails.
Under his fingernails.
Now, if you get down a rabbit hole on Reddit or Facebook conversations, it's about 50-50 of the community that thinks that Carol and Robin are innocent and it could have been Shane.
Really?
Yeah. It's mixed comments of, oh no, Shane did it, or these women are innocent. It's I don't know what information they all have. But This is the most I could find on it.
Yeah, that's really disappointing that they didn't test that. Because yeah. there very well could be two innocent women in prison. Two women that are not great people. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Right.
But maybe they didn't do it.
Who knows?
Wow. You've given me a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. Not as many questions as the last episode that you gave us, but
yeah, we're sorry, guys.
Yeah.
What?
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, tell us what you think.
We need to know.
That was great. Let's do it again sometime.
I think we will.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.